Welcome to another On Wellbeing podcast, and I am delighted to bring in today Dr. Louise Lambert. Now, she is the Director of Happiness Policy and Programming with happinessmatters.org. She is based in Dubai and really specializes in well-being and positive psychology. So that's her background, academic background. And Louise and I came into each other's stratospheres many years ago now, working in the same area of mental health, psychological well-being, the workplace, and how to make people feel better. So we've connected several times, but there was a topic that Louise was talking about, which in all my work, I'd never really come across, but suddenly struck me and it made a lot of sense. And it is this. I'm going to describe it and then Louise will probably describe it a little bit more eloquently. It's that when we engage with art and culture, the sort of perspective that we get on our life helps our mental health, helps us to realign, helps us to get some an overview of where we are in history, I suppose. Now, that could be completely wrong, and Louise will tell me differently, but whatever it is, it intrigued me. I thought, art and mental health, tell me more. Louise.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me on your show, and welcome everyone. Hi. First, I think it's worth maybe backing up to say, how did I get involved in this question of art and well-being? And I think where I started to ask myself the question was when I was going through a bad patch myself, relationship breakup and all of that wonderful stuff it brings. And I got hooked on the BBC, The Tudors. And I was hooked because it was so real, it was so raw, but it was really what I needed at the time. And it evoked all of these emotional responses in me. And I thought, gosh, check that out. If the Queen of England can also feel guilt, anxiety, jealousy, sadness, then what I'm feeling actually isn't that weird. And it really just quickly put things into perspective that, you know, a lot of times I think we feel our suffering is unique and it's isolating, and we think, oh, no one would understand. But actually, every single emotion we feel has been felt before. And there's great comfort in knowing, again, the Queen of England felt this, including all of her entourage, male and female. And when we do too, it's kind of not that weird and we're normal. And that really sort of broadened out the bigger question of what is the role of cinema, literature, art, poetry, photography, fashion, even architecture. And I started to really take an interest in this and look this up and really ask the question, what does art broadly, you know, defined do for us? So today what I'm hoping is to take a look at some of those questions. And, you know, when we talk about art today, you know, we're going to confine it, kind of limit it a little bit to the maybe the type you find in an art gallery. So maybe more about art appreciation. But for those of us listening, it can also include, again, painting, sculpture, music, you know, again, photography, a little bit of everything. My only caveat is that it needs to be the high quality stuff and not the maybe more trashy stuff, not the Hollywood blockbusters necessarily, although some might be good, but, you know, some of that good quality art and cinema and things that really evoke emotion in good ways.
I think what is going to be there. So interesting as this story unfolds, if you like, is how accessible this is. So when we talk about, you know, psychological well-being, mental health, many people feel awkward. It doesn't feel like part of their identity to reach out to traditional spaces for help. Whether that's a GP, whether that's even talking to a friend, whether that's reading a self-help book, that feels alien to many people. However, to access support in a kind of covert way through art or culture sounds to me really appealing for many people that I can think of. So I'm really interested to hear a little bit more about that. And you said something that I think is a great opener to this, and it's that every emotion you feel has been felt before, because mental health is often exacerbated, it's strengthened inside when you think, I'm the only person that can be feeling like this right now. It's horrendous. I've got this complex set of things going on. There's no way out. I'm overwhelmed. And then, as you described, you sat and watched the Tudors and thought, maybe not. And So tell me how it works then. Okay, so it makes you see that other people have felt this feeling before, which is good because that makes you feel not so lonely. We know that helps. What else does it do? And how do we do it? That's what we'll talk about.
Yeah, and maybe I'll just tap onto, you know, a comment that you made earlier is that, you know, not everybody feels they necessarily want to go see a psychologist. And I think there's good reason for that. You know, we have sort of medicalized, pathologized a lot of our emotions. But if we think who came first, the artist or the psychologist, it actually is the artist. So art has always been around in various form, from the hieroglyphics to the digital art today. But and this is sort of answering your question, what does it do for us? It reflects us to us. So
right,
art,
that's important. You know, it reflects us to us.
You know, I was one of these people earlier on that I'm like, oh, art is for like fancy people. And then I discovered an artist friend and he's like, are you kidding? Forget everything of these fancy pantsy people tell you. Art is whatever you feel it means to you. That's it. So when you're standing in front of this piece of art and you're kind of like, it's a dot. Yep. So what does the dot mean to you? That is what art appreciation is. It's simply parking yourself in front of a piece and asking yourself the questions, what is coming up for me right now? What emotion am I feeling in response to this thing, whether it's a dot or a scene, a very mundane scene of, you know, women washing clothes in the river. Could be anything. But what am I feeling? Or do I hate this painting? And why? What emotions is it bringing up for me? What thoughts is it bringing up? What does it remind me of? And that's exactly what a therapist will do for you. Right? So a therapist
is,
will
yeah.
say, how
what
was
do you
your
think
week?
Of that?
What
yeah.
came up? What do you think about that? What did you feel? You don't even, I shouldn't say you don't need a therapist. I am a therapist, mm-hmm. but art will do the exact same thing. And so part of it is don't be afraid of the artsy fartsy culture, right? Art is for everybody. Let's democratize it. But we need to know what to do with art.
Yes.
And often we just say, yep, I like it. No, I don't. And then we just kind of carry on and go really quickly around the gallery. But we can do much better by really tapping in and appreciating what we see, whether positively or negatively, but using that as a source of reflection and something that triggers insights and something that forces an emotional response of sorts. And then, of course, you're forced to solve it and regulate it and figure it out. So really, art is there to provoke you in some way. That's what it's there for, just like any stimuli in life. But it's safe in the sense that it's just something hanging on the wall. It's not an actual threat. It's not coming for you. You know, there's no danger attached. But it gives you the space in that gallery. Galleries are always silent for that reason, to allow you to kind of go, okay, what do I want to do with this? And maybe I want to walk away from it and go find a nicer piece that makes me feel something different. So I think we've
neglected art. It's a very safe space. That's, I think, what's coming across to me, first of all, because the people that I talk to and work with, they already feel threatened and unsafe in their mental health, you know, because they feel I'm not normal, I'm feeling things and I want to just be back how I was. I already feel unsafe. And then going and reading self-help manuals, going to the GP, that's another avenue of unsafe because it's unfamiliar. However, perhaps walking into an art gallery or a museum could allow me to process some of the things. And this is why I think this is such a unique conversation, because it's certainly not something I've really thought about in any depth, despite working in the area. It allows me to process stuff without feeling like, oh, there's something going on with me and everyone knows that. And that's the beauty of it, right?
Right, and you can blame it on the art piece. So it's not you, it's that piece of art. But also, you do it at your own pace. You can literally appreciate one painting and go, okay, I'm done, and leave. Or I'm going to just appreciate three pieces today, and that's it. And, you know, you don't have to sit in front of a therapist who's saying, what's wrong? Tell me. The art doesn't ask anything of you. If you walk away from it, it's cool. It doesn't mind. So definitely safe, accessible, and of your choice.
And I think, something else you said, which maybe, you know, we're going to come to is, and you mentioned this with your description of watching the Tudors, it helps you to get some perspective on your life. Now, that's not to say everybody, we're well off, don't moan, look at how it used to be. We're not saying that. Talk to me about how seeing, so there's looking at art and asking what it means for you, to you, but what about seeing like the lives and seeing what people have been through, I suppose, to help us to readjust perhaps how we're feeling in our life? Is that something that you also think?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I'm trying to think where I was, some random European city, I don't know where. And I, you know, again, just kind of bored, walking around through this gallery, and I stopped in front of this painting, and I still remember it to this day. And it was just a young woman who's staring out the window, and she just looks so bored. And you could see she was looking at something, but also a little bit daydreaming. And I stopped and I thought, gosh, I feel that a lot. And yet there was nothing remarkable about the painting. Anybody would have walked by it. Actually, most people did just walk by because it was just so boring. But I thought, that is life, right? Like, there's nothing glamorous about this painting, and yet it was worth painting. So yes, it sort of readjusts our expectations that life isn't always a five-star VIP party. In fact, most people just stare at the window and are kind of bored. And you know, in other scenes, again, I mentioned earlier with, you know, women washing clothes at the river, like that is life. And yet there is beauty in that, in those mundane activities where we can kind of reflect on ourselves and reflect on others or just think of nothing. So it kind of normalizes these kind of flat moments we have in life, but it kind of resets the needle that, yeah, that's okay. That's how life is supposed to be. And I think that's also comforting. You know, we've got all this social media. Everybody's
doing,
you know,
amazing
living it up
things
on Instagram, doing amazing things. And you feel like, wow, I'm just sitting on my couch, you know, doing, not even eating ice cream because I don't even have ice cream. But, you know, you're made to feel bad for having a boring life. But actually, we're all quite ordinary. And we're trying not to be, but yet that is normal in life.
I like that. I like that. We're all quite ordinary, but we're trying not to be. And I think, I mean, we won't go into the social media sphere right now, but I talk about it a lot in relation to mental health and how detrimental it is to people feeling good about themselves. And one of the things, like you say, is this concept of everybody living amazing lives, traveling the world, having these beautiful homes, and we think, God, I don't live like that, what's wrong with me, you know? And it's just it's very negative. So seeing our, okay, so there's a couple of things we've mentioned. So we're talking about, just to recap, how actually art and culture is a space that you could use to support feeling better, to help your mental health if you're someone who doesn't particularly want to access therapists or self-help books, or as an add-on to something you're already doing. And the thing that art can do is it can help you to ask yourself what you make of something, and that in itself will bring up other stuff that's going on. And it will also potentially give you some perspective on life when you see what's captured in art, and what's captured in art can be the mundane everyday and the beautiful, but it's moments in, it's real moments in life. And actually, you know, we're saying how everything's digitalized these days, but actually to watch somebody capture a moment in art can be helpful. But what if you're someone, Louise, who thinks, you know, to themselves as they're listening, well, you know, the GP wasn't for me, the self-help book wasn't for me, but I can tell you, walking into an art gallery isn't for me either. That's something I'm not, I know we've talked about this a little bit, I'm not arty, that feels alien. And also, I don't know how to do it. How would I do it? What would we suggest to that person?
Yeah, I think art galleries, museums have all gotten far more accessible today than they've ever been. And I think for this exact recognition. So art used to be for the rich. It used to be for the elites because you needed to be able to afford it. And often if you had this money, you were friends with the artists and the musicians and the, you know, the beautiful people in life. It's not like that anymore today. Art galleries, you know, many are just free. Some art galleries you can just walk into and say, hi, I don't know, just walk me around. Tell me what you do here. Owners are always very happy to walk you through and explain different pieces to you and give you that space because they understand what art appreciation is. It's also why people buy things, so don't feel pressured to buy. And you know, lots of art galleries have also developed lots of great programming around how to appreciate art, around different forms of art therapy, even taking a gallery tour. Or a museum tour, you know, often we think, oh, I don't want to spend the extra money. I can do that on my own. Yes, you can. But when you have somebody walking you through saying, notice this, this is what this piece means. This is where we got this. Or notice this little tiny thing there. Yeah, no one ever sees that. Here's what that means. And suddenly you're like, whoa, I did not look. And we've moved 4 feet, right? And suddenly your eyes are open to all of these other areas of life. And I think this is another thing that art does for us is it gives us insight into the worlds of others.
Yes, yeah, so talk and more about that. I think that's something we mentioned before.
And that has a lot of benefits because and where do we get insight into the lives of others? Generally, we don't. We're so preoccupied with our own thoughts, our own concerns, our own worries, our bad hair days, mm-hmm. our finances, our relationships. And to stop all that and to look at, you know, some, you know, I went to the Louvre here just a couple of weeks ago and there was an exhibition, again, not knowingly, just randomly walked in. There was an exhibition on how different cultures pay respect to the dead. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't think this was going to show up. And it was different masks that were laid on the faces of people. And it was quite beautiful, in fact, because it was a way to say, you know, you're going and we want to leave you with this protection from whatever it is might happen. Or other cultures had flipped the idea of the mask, an openness unto the new that you will encounter. And I thought, what a beautiful way of sending somebody off. But that's not even the point. The point is, I never would have had that thought unless I went to the museum that day and was confronted with that. I never would have thought of that. Who thinks of that? So art galleries, museums, etc., give us new things to think about that we couldn't source out on our own. So maybe this has happened to you. You're sitting in front of Google and you're like, I need something new. I need mental stimulation. And you can't even think of what to type. A museum will give you ideas to think about.
And I mean, I think this, you know, with the descriptions you're giving me, there are words that are coming to my head that are aligned to helping individuals to feel better. And it's things like the fact that we are stuck in our own head most of the time. That's one of the biggest problems that we have.
Yes.
And actually, so being stuck in our own head is not good for us. And actually mm-hmm. going to museum, looking, seeing other things, history helps us to get out of that. Slowing down, which is what we're describing happens when we go into these spaces. Another thing that we suggest people do when they feel overwhelmed and stressed and anxious is slowing down and you're noticing. And when we're in low mood, noticing is something we find very difficult to do, right? We can't stop and smell the flowers. Reflecting, like you just said, you look at the art and it reflects things back to you. And you just said something and I thought, yes, because what we tend to do is we distract ourselves by looking at social media, but here's a much more natural and positive way of distracting ourselves, and it's going to help us at the same time, as opposed to the void that we go into when we kind of doom scroll, if you like, to distract ourselves. So it's another way of distracting ourselves. That's okay. But whilst we do it, it's probably going to help us a little bit too.
Well, and it's meaningful and it's enriching because you're also learning about something new. And while you're busy learning about whatever it is you're learning, it actually doesn't matter. You're letting go of your concerns and your worries. And that space between your stuff and the new stuff also gives you that perspective and distance. And now suddenly you're like, oh, you had a little break from your own. You're focusing on the ancient Mayans, whatever it is, it doesn't even matter. And then when you do leave the gallery that day, your own stuff seems a little bit more manageable, a little bit more down to size, a little bit more,
Perspective.
perspective and more doable. So instead of it consuming you, you've kind of repackaged it. And maybe you've even asked yourself, if I were to paint this, what would it look like? Right? You're able kind of to remove it from your head and objectify it, put it outside of you, maybe even ask yourself some questions about it, like you would any other piece. And often you might walk away going, A, it's not that bad, or B, I think I just found a solution, or C,
I feel better anyway.
Yeah, I feel
Yeah,
better
I
anyway.
feel
It
better anyway. I
just
don't know
doesn't
how it
matter.
happened. So we've got the things that I'm thinking of. We've got distraction happening. We're stuck in our head. We're getting out of it. We're managing to slow down. We're reflecting. And then one of the key areas of a psychological well-being that I talk about a lot is, like learning, like you said, we can't get stuck. We've got to keep developing. And that's really important for our mental health and what we're doing when we go to an art gallery is like you said, we're learning. It's enriching. And I think so few of us think that that's something we could do. So it's actually what we're trying to say today is, look, we know that 65% of us, if not more, are struggling with mood right now. And so why not try something different?
It's cheaper.
It's
It's cheaper than
cheaper.
a therapist.
Much cheaper than therapist, yeah. Well,
Yeah.
and so that if someone could go to an art gallery, what else could they do to get this enrichment, to get this these benefits, Louise?
So I think the other thing that it allows us to do is to be curious about people's lives. So I've stood in front of different paintings and went, what the heck is going on here? I'm like, what? I don't get it. And it just kind of niggles away at you, and you're forced to go, okay, I don't understand. I see this scene, but you have this emotional response on your face, and I don't really understand why. And now it forces you to be curious about the other. And this is a form of, developing kind of an emotional understanding of other people's worlds that, again, we often don't do because we're stuck in our own.
So an
And yet, for that
empathy.
2, 3 minutes, empathy, for that 2, 3 minutes, it allows you to be curious, but also to realize other people feel different ways. And it's okay. And yes, it's different from yours. And then suddenly you go, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wouldn't feel that way, but I could see how she could or he could, or how that situation could come about. And this kind of broadens our perspective to be more diverse and inclusive and understand that we all have different ways of seeing things. So if you're upset by A, B, and C, it might just be because you're not seeing it from a different point of view. But once you do, you go, oh, okay. So that's not necessarily right or wrong. It's just different. That hadn't occurred to me before.
I think,
That's valuable right there.
for so many individuals right now who struggle with anxiety, and that anxiety can stem a lot perhaps in the workplace from communication and relationships and interactions, right? Anxiety is often provoked by interactions we have with people. And what we're saying here is by immersing yourself in art, culture, and really looking, then it helps you to see the diversity in responses, in approaches, and that
And
helps you
in
to not,
lives as well,
yeah,
how people to live their
it
lives. Yeah.
helps you to not, I suppose, magnify the feeling that you're having, this anxiety around the interaction perhaps that's happened. I mean, I think for some people listening, that probably sounds like a bit of a stretch. So what you're saying, Nicola and Louise, is that I've got anxiety and low mood, but it's okay. I'm going to go along to the art gallery in, I don't know, Birmingham, Manchester, wherever I live this weekend. I'm going to walk around it and I'm going to feel much better. What we're saying is, not necessarily immediately, but we're saying if you're someone who's struggling, as so many people are, with anxiety, low mood, emotional distress, stress, and you aren't able to access a therapist, self-help books are not for you, you've been struggling like this for a while, we're saying, what's the harm in taking our suggestion and starting to perhaps access art a little bit more? Because the things that it might give you might help you to make sense of what you're feeling. And, you know, self-development, creativity, we know those are key elements of positive psychology and mental health anyway. So I think what we're trying to say is it's an opportunity to try, even if it feels a little bit odd. It's certainly intriguing to me because it makes sense given what I know, but I'd never really piece these two things together. And probably, Louise, not enough people are talking about this, are they, in relation to mental health?
And it's weird because galleries are getting it, and they're putting on lots of programming around that, and yet somehow there's a gap between the two. We're not tapping into the world of art, but they are tapping into the world of mental health. So I think as mental health practitioners, psychologists, GPs, whatever, I think there's scope to broaden this out. There is, and actually it's in the UK, a lot of GPs are prescribing art prescriptions for well-being, the same way we're now prescribing green prescriptions, go out in nature, right? So we're discovering all these interventions that have been there all along, by the way, but now we have evidence to go, that actually works. Like, why aren't we telling more people about this? So it is becoming more popular, but you certainly don't need to wait for the prescription. I want to add one more thing. You know, you talked about, you've asked how. I think there's one other way in which you can walk into a gallery, and that's simply find your emotion. So when you walk into a gallery, you could do a couple of things. One is you can just aimlessly wander around until something catches your eye. That's cool. You can also take a little tour and ask people, or ask the, you know, whoever's in charge, you know, give me a, show me the highlights. I don't know. Show me something. Okay. Another way you could do it is walk around until you find yourself, quite literally. Find your emotion or find your character, right? So this woman that was staring out the window looking bored, I was like, she's me.
Like, yeah, find something that resonates with you, right? So it's to find something that means something to you, yeah.
And it's very validating because, again, you walk around feeling like you're the only person on the planet who feels A, B, and C, or who is like A, B, and C, right? Sometimes it's not even an emotion. It's just how I am. Like, what is wrong with me? Nothing. Because the girl in the window, she's just like you. And you can't be the only two people on the planet. Like, if there's two of you, there's millions of you. So that's the other thing you could do, is find yourself. And this is really validating of our identity, right? To find a character that resonates with you and that reflects who you are. And take a picture of it. Keep it on your phone. Make that your screensaver. And you know, days when you're feeling like, pull it back up. Take a look. How did I feel when I was there? What is this woman in the mirror, you know, or in the window, what is she feeling? What is she thinking? What else could I ascribe to her? And that, you end up doing a bit of therapy on your own, right? Is putting sense to your thoughts and your feelings, and how does this align with my values and my actions? And you're just staring at a picture on your phone.
Absolutely. So these are kind of and I think
cheeky ways in which we can help ourselves.
What that does is, you know, I think you've just said it. For me, a lot of people are helped when they look at things that give them meaning and that help them to understand who they are and what their purpose in life is. And we're too busy scrabbling around thinking, well, that must mean my job, or that must mean I need to run a marathon. No, it can be a film. It can be a piece of art. It can be a picture. Things that speak to you are part of what gives you meaning. And actually, you'd benefit rather than, you know, watching something on Netflix perhaps one evening, from collating these in a kind of personal Pinterest board to try and make sense of yourself. And it could be a few pictures, it could be the name of a film, it could be a song, it could be a photo of you when you were younger. That's how we start to see where we're going. And I think, you know, post-pandemic, you know, in the perma-crisis, a lot of us have lost what our sense of purpose is. So sometimes bringing these kind of visual representations in can help. So that has been incredibly interesting, I think. And as you said to me, though, we're talking about art, obviously, but we could also talk about galleries, museums, you know, engaging in art itself, watching films. And so, I mean, how often, before we finish off today then, Louise, how often do we do this? What's the dose response rate? What's the prescription?
Yeah, I love that this question of the dose, and it turns out there's a dose.
Oh, there is a dose.
There is a dose. Yeah, so right. Researchers are great at kind of putting all this stuff together, and I mean, there's been different studies, and you know, again, you can Google all this stuff, but one study that really resonated with me is this idea of art appreciation, specifically with galleries, and the magic number is 100 hours per year. Now, that might sound astronomical, but it's 2 hours a week.
Okay, I was going to say my maths isn't any good, right? Two.
Yeah, me neither. I had to do it on my phone.
Two hours a week sounds
doable.
It sounds maybe a lot for a busy working person, but it's not unachievable, is it? I mean, even if you start with an hour. So, you know, one evening, one weekend, just go and engage. Or, I mean, you know, we started off by you talking about watching the Tudors, and that did something for you, right? So there's also allow yourself, I suppose, if you are watching a historical piece, to see where it brings you in your mind.
Yeah. And, you know, the 2 hours doesn't mean you have to get straight to a gallery, although that has benefits in itself. It gets you out of the house, gets you, you know, you might bump into somebody and say, oh, sorry. Oh, hey, I know you. you know, you kind of meet people along the way. It allows you to feel like maybe you're part of a new community or a new group. It allows you to feel like, yeah, I'm into art, right? I'm one of those people now. The cost of entry is really low, psychologically and, you know, monetarily. But you can also do this online. Almost every single gallery now, at least all the big ones, have online appreciation. So you can go and look up.
I feel like that goes against what we're saying, though, looking at online. But I don't want to be, I want to be inclusive. So if that's, I suppose, the way you want to do it, then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in real life is the real deal, because you're in this space, it's quiet, there's always a great cafe, and you know, it's just beautiful and everything shiny and wonderful. But you know, again, if it's between doing nothing and doing something, and you just need that little break, you know, there's a few artists that I regularly just look at their work online, and I'm like, wow, check that out. And I might just lose myself for, you know, 3-4
minutes.
And
that's positive, isn't it? Losing yourself. That's quite good for you as well.
Yeah, exactly. And just kind of, again, you know, there's one scene, and I've forgotten the artist suddenly, but it's the scene of people, they're at a cafe, a diner, in an evening, and it's really kind of lonely and sad almost. And you're kind of like, wow, these are sad looking people. But then I think, well, I'm at home on a Friday night, feeling sad as well. And it's like, oh, okay. I could be at a diner, I could be at home. But again, the feeling is the same. I'm not the only person feeling this way on a Friday night, right?
So, and that's where we come back again, Yeah, it's that concept.
Exactly.
That we're gonna see people feeling like we feel. And you know, if nothing else, that's gonna make you feel more at peace, or help you to regulate the overwhelm you feel by the emotions you're experiencing. Well, thank you, Louise. I think that the concept of considering art as a therapeutic tool is new for many, but it's certainly accessible. So we encourage you to maybe give it a try, because what have you got to lose? Thank you, Louise. We will see you again on another podcast, but for now, we appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you.